The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of Spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Hello, everyone. You're listening to the Big Brother Brothers, the ultimate unofficial podcast from your friends at TV Guide. I'm your Big Brother obsessed host, Fox Van Allen. And joining me this week and every week throughout the Big Brother 21 season is a man who is truly conspiring against me. Please welcome Emmy Award winning writer Lance Cartelli. Hello, Lance.
Hey, Fox. I am conspiring against you, so thank you for confirming that.
Yeah, I trust you had a really good break. We were all out of the office for our 4th of Jack's Lie celebration, right?
Yes, that was catchy. I loved the fireworks, but I loved even more watching a lot of Big Brother.
Yeah, my favorite fireworks to enjoy on the 4th of Jack's Lie are the ones that explode in blue happy face emojis.
Same here. Hopefully that becomes a national holiday now, and we just call it that from now on.
Yeah, yeah. That sounds like a plan. So here's the plan for today, Lance, because we've got a big show here. We're gonna talk and grade Christie's week one as HOH. We're gonna get into the week two, how Jack is handling his HOH, including some spoilers. We're gonna talk about Sunday's episode, and we're gonna talk about a never before seen Big Brother twist. I don't want to let you know what it is yet, Lance.
No spoilers.
We're gonna keep it a surprise. A twist that's shaking up the house. And we're going to play a game that I am already starting to regret, Lance.
I can smell it from here.
It's the most whack Big Brother Brothers game yet. We're gonna give that a try. But that's all coming up in a little bit. But first, this is a special episode here. We're kind of on an unusual schedule here because of the 4th of July. So we're recording on a Monday after the Sunday episode, which is something we normally don't do. So we've got a little bit more insight about week two than we normally do. But we're going to be back here again later this week. You listening to it won't hear it until next week. But we're going to be talking with Tyler Crispin from Big Brother 20. Very excited to talk to him about his game and see what he thinks about the 21.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what he's been up to and definitely want to hear his insights on this fun first couple of weeks of Big
Yeah,
Brother.
Yeah, well, it's fun depending on which house guest you ask, right?
That's true.
So let's talk a little bit about week one. Let's wrap it up real quick. Because I want to talk about one of my new favorite house guests. I don't think she's going to win the game, but I'm loving every time she's on the screen. I want to talk about Catherine.
Of course, what a 180 for Catherine. Let's talk about her.
Is it 180? I think there's a little bit of a turn there. So you got to say that she had a tough week one starting out. Like, there's not a whole heck of a lot positive that you can say about her week one. She got put up on the block because, you know, she was talking smack about what a master manipulator she is, right? And that didn't work out.
Yeah, that wasn't really proven true.
No. She wound up getting in a relationship, dating someone in the majority alliance, and yet still wound up on the block, which is troubling.
Not a good look for the first week.
Jackson, Mickey
Jocelyn.
Yeah, was not a big fan of Catherine's game, and they were talking about maybe we should let her go. So that's not a great sign. She had a tough week on the block because she was very convinced that the bitches were conspiring against her.
And turns out they weren't.
We got the most amazing Catherine supercut of her just doing that like 15, 20 times. She really was doing that like every 10 minutes. Is that a good strategy, Lance? Do you think that's a good strategy?
I think it's not, but it also, you know, it gets the scent off of you a little bit.
I don't know.
For her, but
she's kind of rolling in that scent, though, isn't it?
Getting a little elevated off of that scent as well.
Yeah.
But
Yeah. Oh boy. Oh goodness. Oh, can we talk about? I want to talk about that too.
Let's talk about it.
I want to talk about that too. So I know it was it's a little bit in the past now, but the Catherine's Whacktivity comp, where the nightmare competition, right?
Yep.
Where they're all smelling these just awful smells. I don't know what pure durian smells like.
But I didn't even know what that was.
Got to be. Oh, it's terrible. I know it's terrible.
And yeah.
That's why I've stayed away. They've got rotten fish and rotten manure is there, and I guess they've got some bad potatoes. Those bad potatoes, I don't like that. I don't like that smell. And not one, not two, but three different kinds of urine. And we find out that it's apparently the coyote. Is it the coyote? No, it's the bobcat urine. It's the bobcat urine that is just, there's something special about it, I guess. And Catherine explains to us that she just got so high off of smelling this bobcat pee. And she really did. She was just chill.
It made me question if she's ever actually been high, because just smelling that and then some of the things she was saying, I was just like, has she ever actually been high? Is this something that she has done before? Because it's felt very weird, maybe a little played up for the camera.
Thank you. You don't want to, yeah. So I honestly, I don't know if there is, can you really get high off of, I don't know, but it occurred to me that it's worth trying to find out. So as part of like a special one time only Big Brother Brothers investigative report, I went on Amazon this past weekend.
The intrepid journalist that you are.
Yeah. And it's a little bit risky. I know that Amazon Prime Day is coming up and I paid full price for this. It could be on sale in a week.
But you did get two-day
really
delivery?
I did get Prime two-day delivery. I don't have time to wait around for my deliveries. So I ordered a 12 ounces, because you want to have as much of it as possible, of Bobcat pee. And I guess maybe that's where they get it on Amazon. I don't know. But apparently that's a thing you can get on Amazon. Should we give a link in our, I don't know if we should. Maybe.
Why not?
We'll figure that out later. get rich off of selling Bobcat pee here.
So later in this episode, you're going to smell all three of these?
I did, yes. And I also picked up some fox pee. And some coyote urine. I got all the entire Whacktivity collection.
The trifecta.
And we're gonna see. I told you I'm already regretting this. We're gonna see if we're gonna get maybe only one of us should do this, because this is like the operating podcast, like operating heavy machinery.
I could be the DD.
Okay, you're gonna courageously volunteer not to smell this.
Yeah, I'll take one for the team and not smell it.
Okay, all right. Well, that's something we'll.
And then if you get taken over by the fumes, I'm here for you.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, that's something we're gonna look forward to trying a little bit. We're gonna put that worryingly off to the side, and hopefully none of the scent comes out from the bottles as we're talking, because I really can't get enough of Catherine. We're gonna talk a little bit more about Catherine later, because we're gonna talk about some showman stuff in a little bit, and you know, Catherine's right there in the thick of it. But you know, the good news is Catherine's still there. And I did not think I would like Catherine as much as I do, but there's something. She's not like a mastermind, right? She's not gonna Derek this thing to the end, but she's gonna give us a lot of entertaining TV the way.
That's where my 180 came from. She is just arguably the most entertaining person in the house right now. Everything she says, whether it's just an offhand comment, a ditzy comment, or just you know trying to figure out her way into the game, it's all just completely entertaining, and I hope she sticks around for a long time so that we keep getting this.
Mm-hmm. She had an interesting talk with David, and I'm still trying to get a feeling of like how good and or not good Catherine is at this game, because like she has her moments on both sides, right? So she was talking with David after he gets back in, and we'll talk a little bit more about that twist in a moment, but she mentioned that David should maybe like lay low for a little bit, which is that's some good advice from Catherine. But also, after this entire week that Catherine gone through, the next thing she says is, well, I don't think there are any alliances in the house. And it's just like, okay, well, you were right on that, you know, lay low is great advice, but the alliance, like, I feel like do you have to be blind not to see these alliances in the house?
I think so. I think she actually had a little bit of Ovi in her, where Ovi's kind of figuring stuff out, but then is completely off on something else.
Yeah.
So I think her wanting to get close with David, you know, giving him sage advice and even telling Jackson, like, hey, make up with him is really smart. But then to just be completely oblivious about no alliances, especially in the first week when that's really all that's happening. People are getting to know each other. There's alliances being thrown around left and right. It's something you kind of have to be like, hey, like at least David told her, like, hey, this game is going on. Play it.
Yeah, Catherine thinks this is the first Big Brother season to not have an alliance yet. I feel like no matter what season it is, someone's going to try to make an alliance on day one or day two.
And David said it right, that if you don't think there are alliances going on, it's because you're not in it.
Right, right. Well, David wasn't in it for a while, and he's kind of going to try to feel his way back around the house. But before we talk more about David, let's talk about, I just want to talk about Cliff real quick, because he had his week started off rough, but I think he came out of week one really great. So, he made friends with, he's not in the big alliance, but he's making friends, and he's made friends with the right person, Sam. Podunk Sam from Pennsylvania. Can you believe it?
Another person that I've really changed my mind on. He is really entertaining. His voice kind of gets at me a little bit, but the guy can drive truck and he's entertaining as well.
It's like a Johnny Mac situation where he's just got that voice and he likes to yell for no good reason.
Loves to yell.
And it's a lot, but he's a good guy. Like he really is a good guy.
I just like when people... You could tell they enjoy playing the game and they're just happy to be there. The guy just has like a little zest for life, you know?
He really is enjoying being there. Maybe enjoying being there too much, because he goes all out week one. And there is no reason for Sam to compete and want to win this veto. But Sam wants to win this veto so bad. He's just been waiting all week long for his chance to do something. And, you know, he comes out with this catch some strawberries competition. And this is Sam. This is right in Sam's wheelhouse, apparently.
If it's in anybody's wheelhouse, that was a tough competition.
There are a few great moments in that competition. A few choice moments with the meatballs heading in kind of low.
As Chappelle Show once said, everything's better in slow motion, and this is the prime example of that. Yeah. Just people getting smacked with balls in different places on their body was amazing.
No, I don't know how many chances they get to, like, how many meatballs are thrown at each person, you know, catching it three times or twice or whatever. But I noticed there was one where there were just like there was the one where they showed Catherine. Where like Catherine's getting like hit in the face with like just the spray of marinara, right? This hot pink marinara sauce, and then the meatball just kind of like rolls along the ground. Like I don't know how she's supposed to catch that.
Yeah, whatever method they're using to throw this out, it didn't seem like it was perfect.
Is it just some guy throwing?
Some guy, or maybe they have like in football where they have a little jug machine and they're just throwing it at him like 50 miles an hour. And stuff.
50 mile per hour meatball machine. Yeah, that's what they got there. That makes sense. I think that checks out. Checks out. So again, don't know why. I guess he says why. Sam wants to have a bargaining chip, and he wants to have something that can get him in with someone in the house. So what do you think of that strategy? Like, is there something to be said for that, Lance? Is there something to be said for like having some manner of power in week one?
I think so. I think that him doing that, you know, it might get you on some people's radar, but I think he also notices that there are other bigger targets in the house that he is just trying to make his way in the game. He's trying to get in with people. And if you don't really feel like that's something you're doing the first couple of days, you kind of have to just do it. Mm-hmm. And I think when you're in there, the competitive juices really take over.
Yeah. One thing that's really interesting about Big Brother, one reason why I really love the game, is I think that the optimal strategy for me is going to be different than the strategy for you. And the strategy for Jack is going to be completely different than the strategy for Sam. I think someone like Jack goes in the house and, you know, you're like, oh, what a big guy, you know, super muscular, he's going to be a threat. And you look at Sam, and Sam doesn't have that same like threat aura to him, right?
Exactly.
He's not the kind of person that you're going to worry is going to win 7 vetoes down the stretch and just going to be impossible to get out.
Yep.
So I'm going to say that I don't necessarily like hate the idea of him trying to chase after some kind of power here, but I don't know that he uses
it felt a little early in the game. That's something that you can do in a couple weeks. And then his bargaining chip was for Cliff.
Yeah. And he's using it for Cliff, which I guess is good because it gets him, you know, friendlier with Cliff, and you know, now they have a much stronger relationship than they had before. But like, is Cliff a power player here? Can't you just be nice to him anyway? Like, I feel like you could still win Cliff over even without, because Cliff has friends, but when you're on the block, you know, it's like, are they really your friends?
And he's an older player, like he'll do anything really right now just to get allies. So it's not something where you really need to offer him something. If Sam just goes up and talks to him, maybe he already has an ally without having to burn that kind of thing and then get on the bad side of a head of household who doesn't want to get any more blood on their hands.
Yeah. It's an interesting move for Sam. He mentions that he could potentially use it on Catherine, but Catherine would forget about it immediately. I think that's right. I think Cliff is going to be the type of person who's going to be much more appreciative.
Yeah,
off the block.
I could totally see Cliff in like a month, like, hey, Sam took me off that one time.
Yeah.
I got your back kind of
thing. Yeah, that would be nice. That would be a nice turn for him. The one person who doesn't care for this entire veto win, as it turns out, is Christy, who kind of has a complete turnaround. And let's talk about Christy. Let's just talk about Christy's overall week as HOH, because it is a very eventful week. And so she obviously, you know, as HOH, the one thing that every HOH and Big Brother says is, I don't want to get blood on my hands. It's like, since it's just the most Big Brother of phrases, right? Blood on her hands. Does she, Lance, have blood on her hands? How much blood does Christy have on her hands after this week?
I would say a moderate to high moderate amount of blood on her hands. I think that she obviously got some enemies for nominating a bunch of people.
Oh,
and anytime you're the first head of household, that's going to happen. But she also, like I said, for Sam, she kind of has these meat shields in the jacks and these bigger threats that I think she kind of got away with it, even though it was a tough look for her and everything. Like, she didn't handle it well. It was, you know, eerily reminiscent of friend of the pod, Caitlin Herman's head of household.
Yeah.
So it was tough, but it wasn't a complete disaster. It wasn't a dumpster fire or anything like that, but it wasn't perfect, obviously.
Okay. First of all, love Caitlin, but I will say that I think Christy's HOH did go off a little bit better.
Yes.
A little bit better. So on a just grade it, A through F. What kind of grade would you give her for her week in total?
I give her a C-.
Okay. I think that's about where I am. I'd probably put it at a C myself.
I think if you can get through that first head of house, you know, there's so many things that happen. Obviously, you kind of have to have in the back of your mind that someone's probably going to come back and that you're going to have multiple people go on the block, something like that, that you're going to come up with a lot of enemies. So if you can get through the first week with a C, not the worst thing.
Yeah. So I think, so she put Cliff on the block. I think Cliff is probably not super upset with Christy. I think Cliff probably gets that he was going to be there pretty much no matter what was going to happen. He's just in a bad place. And
he took the opposite approach of David, where when they asked him to be a pawn, he didn't really fight it. He's like, this is part of the game. I understand that. Do I want to do it? No.
Right.
But he gets the game at least.
Right. And he laid low and he just, you know, Cliff had a really good week. And I think Christy's relationship with Cliff is going to be okay. Her relationship with Catherine is not okay.
Nope.
That's not a great relationship. And again, to Catherine's credit, when Christy came up to her and was talking about putting her on a block, Catherine immediately saw through this. She's like, okay, you know, just tell me the truth. Like, you're putting me up because you don't like me.
I think more people need to have that kind of understanding of it. It's, you know, it is a game and stuff, but personal feelings get involved in that. And so call a spade a spade.
Yeah, it's an interesting, compare that to what happened with Ovi, where, you know, Ovi kind of the jacks do him dirty and then, you know, gets back in the house and immediately goes back to talking with them.
Don't be gullible in the game. That's a big mistake.
Meanwhile, like, Catherine's just there. She's just ready to, you know, burn down their whole house. You know, she's just not, Catherine. She's not there for it. So she gets some blood on her hands with Catherine. She talks about putting Kemi on the block. She doesn't actually go through with it, which is fine. But she's doing an awful lot of talking about putting Kemi on the block. And one of the most surprising moments of the of week one is where she's just sitting with Sam and they're going over, you know, are we going to use the veto? And Chrissy's begging this guy, don't use this veto. I don't want to. Let's just get rid of Catherine at this point. You know, I don't want to have to do a backdoor. And Sam's already made his promise to Cliff, and it's a done deal. So, you know, she's trying to, is it gonna be over? And she cries to Sam that she just doesn't want to go. There's this group, and they're pressuring her, and she doesn't want to do Jack's work and getting rid of Kemi, and she doesn't like this backdoor Kemi plan. And like Sam's like, wait, backdoor Kemi? What? It's like okay, what a group?
A lot of people just like. Just telling people their plans, even though they're not part of it, even if they don't even know they're there.
Christy is the worst at so maybe not the worst at keeping secrets because we haven't talked about Bella yet, but Christy is terrible at keeping secrets. Like at multiple points, she's just trying to work in the word grateful into conversations. And that's grateful with the number 8. That's the name of their alliance.
It's a terrible name.
Is it better than the Hateful Eight?
I kind of like Hateful Eight. I kind of like when they went the Ocho, you know, little dodgeball
the
reference.
Ocho. Yeah.
They should have stuck with that one.
Yeah. Christy is not a big of a fan of the Hateful Eight. It feels like a little bit of maybe even a little bit of foreshadowing for those of you who don't like Jack's game that Jack wants to go the Hateful route.
Yeah, that's a big red flag.
Yeah. So she's got some Kemi blood on her hands because Kemi knows there was plenty of talk about her going on the block and like she dodged a bullet there. And like, that's not great for Christy's game. And then Ovi, and then she's putting Ovi on the block. And that's another,
who is now staying in the house.
Right. Right. And now she's got to deal with that. And let's put on the list Jack. Let's also put Jack on the list, because Jack was, you know, he's the alpha male and he wanted to run that week one HOH, and he kind of, it's going to be Kemi. It's got to be my target. And
one of my favorite things he said was, you got to follow your heart. So stick with my plan.
That's great advice.
Yeah.
That's great. Follow.
How did
your
that
heart,
not work?
Stick with my plan. Yep. Well, yeah. And there should be so much blood on Christy's hands. But at the same time, like now that we're in week two, you know, aside from maybe Catherine, maybe not anymore. Like there doesn't seem to be a lot of people out there who would use their HOH to take out Christy, which I think is interesting, given how. What a mess for the most part.
That's what I was saying. It's not a dumpster fire, and she got away with it pretty unscathed just because there are so many threats in this game and people just trying to take over the game. Like Jackson was a week one guy trying to take it over, and now Jack trying to take it over.
Yeah.
And successfully, potentially.
Yeah. All right. And so let's the last thing here I think we got to talk about for week one. And again, he's still there, which is just fantastic. But the kind of the downfall of Ovi here. Whom, you know, we like Ovi. We liked Ovi from the jump. You know, he's a fan of the show and, you know, it shows, but he just kind of lacks that social awareness, unfortunately. And that just kind of bites him over and over again this week.
He's just too sweet. You know, like he was so gullible. He was trusting everybody. Like every conversation was like awkwardly sweet.
Yeah.
And it was just like a weird feel and everything. And he's just trying so hard for people to like him and for him to just get along in the game. And he does have little moments where it's like, hey, the super fan comes out.
Yeah.
He really realizes what's going on, but then just does a bad job of pinpointing who to talk to, what to say, and things like that. Just puts you, like, it makes you an even bigger target.
Yeah. Yeah. He's talking with and trying to work with all the wrong people. And we saw some, we were talking a little bit about how, you know, some of the people in the house find him a little bit awkward, and we don't get a lot of that on the show, but we get little bits and pieces, like when he's talking with Christy, and Christy wants to go change, and then Ovi offers, would you like to do it under my bed?
Yeah, that just got a little too much. Like, we get you trying to be accommodating, but, like, that is weird.
It's a little weird. I feel like that's just like an Ovi moment right there. That's kind of what you get with him. It is what it is.
He's one of those guys, though. I think the more he stays in the house, the more comfortable he gets. And so if he does come back, it's an advantage, obviously. And he, if he does come back, he has the nightmare powers.
Well, yeah. Speaking of the advantage, so he before he got kicked out of the game, he did win that nightmare wacktivity competition. How much we love saying wacktivity here. So he gets a really, really strong power here. He's got the nightmare power, which can force the HOH to wake up in the middle of the night and then redo the nominations. So, you know, the original nominees become safe and two new people have to go on the block.
That's a massive power.
It's really great, right? Because that's, it's a hidden immunity idol. It's get out of jail free card here. And it only works if you're on the block, you know, in the front door rather than back door. And unfortunately, that was Ovi's problem. He couldn't quite use this. But we do learn on the most recent episode that this power is still alive should Ovi get back into the game. So is that like, that's, first of all, it's a little worrying, I guess, to the people still in the game, right?
Yeah. He's gotta be the person, unless you're, you know, Jackson, he's gotta be the person you least want to come back because he has this power. I don't care if he said that he would let the Jax use it and stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't believe him.
Yeah.
And if I'm them, I don't believe him either. I want him to be long gone.
I feel like Jackson does believe it though. I feel like Jackson like legitimately believes that this kid Ovi is going to use the power for to benefit the Jax.
He also wants that because he knows if David comes back, he is public enemy number one for David. So he's kind of hoping, hey, if we can get this guy on our side.
Yeah.
What did you think though of Ovi's, you know, kind of Hail Mary to the Jax to be like, hey, I have this power. I will save you.
I don't mind it. I feel like at that point, he's got to do whatever he can do to try to stay in the game. I think at the point where you're put, you know, you're backdoored, you're up against Cliff, and, you know, that's not going to, you know, or excuse me, you're up against Catherine. You know, you just get this bad feeling when you're the replacement nominee. There's no reason to replace Cliff if you want to go after Catherine. So I think he's enough of a Big Brother player to just know that when that happens, like, oh no, my game's over here. And you just gotta, Sam was able to do something with that last year. When Sam got the chance, that's me doing the hand thing if you can't see because it's a podcast, the chance to come back in the game. Of course, Caitlin was the person who benefited, or in this particular case, did not benefit from that twist.
Do the puzzles.
But, you know, that twist was out there. I don't know.
I didn't love it. I understand back against the wall. Mm-hmm. You think you're going home no matter what. I just don't think that's something. I think that makes you a bigger target.
Yeah.
Like I don't really care if they think you're actually going to use it. Like word gets around, like everyone's going to know about it, and that just makes you such a big target. And then when you do use it, everyone's going to know it's you now.
Yeah. I think it worked better for Sam because, and you know, I love Sam, but I feel like if you're looking at Sam versus Ovi, Ovi's more game smart. Sam, you know, you just get this feeling like maybe, you know, Sam is more likely to use that power on someone else than Ovi would. I think it works. I think it was a fine play for Ovi week one, not knowing about this, you know, camp battle back twist, and not knowing that if he gets back in the game, which it kind of almost feels unprecedented that this power is still live. If he does get back in the
game. I kind of like that.
Yeah.
I don't want the power to kind of just go away. You know, they did this for a reason. Mm-hmm. So if he does come back, like he's earned that already. So let him have it.
Again, we can't, you know, outcome based, you know, biases and all that, but I'm sure Ovi wishes that he had kept his mouth shut now. Cause getting, if he does get back in that game in week four, or week five, whenever it actually is, you know, or week three, he's really gonna wish he had that under wraps.
Yep.
Cause now, you know, you got a backdoor there.
Yeah.
You can't put him on the block.
Hindsight's always 20/20.
Right?
He's gonna have a really strong chance to come back because with the new camp comeback thing, they aren't gonna evict people who are very strong that have the chance of coming back. I feel like it's going to be a very conservative way to approach the game these next couple weeks.
Yeah. We're gonna talk about the camp battle back in camp battle back. I mean, that's what it is, right? Camp comeback,
whatever you want to call it.
It's, I'm sure that at some point there will be a battle or a vote or some kind of thing where they get back in. I think they said at four, right, with four people there. So we're almost halfway there.
Yep.
Yeah, so that's coming up. But one more thing I want to talk about Ovi before we move on to this battle back and talk more about Ovi, is that Ovi overhears this talk about an alliance of eight, And this is again, like I feel like you have to be increasingly blind not to see that these eight people are working together. Like, if you check out the live feeds, they're like hanging out together.
Like in front of everybody.
Them. And they do. Yeah. Like they do hang out in the HOH room, which is like, okay, that's where you get your meetings done, right? Especially when one of you has the HOH. But like, you know, they're all hanging out and talking with each other, you know, in the backyard. And like, it just feels like they like hanging out with each other, you know?
That, that's, and they like talking about it.
And they do like talking about it a little bit too much. There's no reason for them to be talking about that in the bed.
It's just like, if you've seen the game, or even if you haven't, yeah, survey the room a little bit. Hey, if somebody's here that's not in the Alliance, don't just start talking about it.
Talk about,
like, we've seen it so many times in previous seasons.
So, admittedly, Cliff is there and he's snoring away, but Ovi overhears this, and he doesn't overhear everything, but I guess he overhears the number eight, and he hears that there's this eight-person alliance. Grateful. Hashtag grateful. Ugh. And he wants to do something about this. So he goes and he tells people, and the only people he tells are people who are in this eight-person alliance. He starts with Annalise. And Annalise says, like, oh, thanks for telling me. And immediately
and
goes
then just
back.
Goes and snitches.
And then later he decides, all right, well, let's just sit down with Christy and Jackson and Jack. And they go over it again and they form a 5-person alliance. And that's
this one's going to last, though.
Yeah. Ovi's super thrilled that he's got the first alliance of Big Brother 21. Ugh. And it just doesn't turn out to be the case, unfortunately. Ovi winds up. Winds up going home here. I mean, in terms of them putting it, like, I see why they would want to get Ovi out at this point. Like, he knows about the alliance. He's got a power. Like,
everything's
how do you
against
not
him.
Wanna, yeah.
And
yeah.
If people are already kind of weirded out by him a little bit, it's just, you know, more salt on the wound. It makes it way easier to get rid of him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So unfortunately, that's pretty much it for Ovi. You know, he just digs himself such a huge hole here. And to be fair, other people helped dig him into that hole. You know, unfortunately, Ovi's out. But we learn on eviction night that Ovi may not be out for good. And we're going to talk more about that and week two right after this.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, so Lance, this is, it's a huge twist, and like, I feel like not as many people's heads have exploded over this twist as mine did, but like, so we learn about Camp Comeback, right? And it's this twist where David, gone from the house, Ovi, gone from the house, but they're not gone from the house. They're actually living in the house while they've been, they're not part of the game, but they're still part of the living range. What do you think about this?
I can't believe it took him this long to do this.
Right? It does seem like it's yeah.
Fun. It's a fun little twist on everything. I think it's just like for the social part of it and knowing that your game's not over, but they can still be there. I think it's really fun. I do think that it's something where everyone should stay in it from now mm-hmm. on. And then the people that do get evicted are kind of like the Muppets who talk crap and just stay on like the second floor.
Yeah.
I think that'd be hilarious. Yeah. But on the other hand, I do, like I said earlier, it's going to make the gameplay over the next couple weeks super conservative and just taking out a lot of the easy players because everyone's going to be so scared about who can come back.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think just going into Big Brother any season, if you're playing, you just got to assume that the people you're voting out are going to have a chance to get back in the game.
At least in the first month.
When, just thinking back, like they did it almost every season in recent memory, there's been an opportunity to get back into the game, right?
Which is the reason you another reason you don't want to be that first head of household. That just makes it so much harder for you and so much more blood on your hands.
Yeah, someone for sure is coming back. But now we know for sure, and it's kind of done in this fun twist where, instead of have-nots this season, that David and Ovi and the rest of camp come back are going to be the have-nots, because they're forced to live in this cabin that's not very with a. A mattress with a spring coming out of it and a cot. It's not.
I mean, it's been worse for have-nots. So I actually don't feel that bad for them.
To be fair, it definitely has been a lot worse for have-nots.
They've got it pretty good, and they're obviously still in the game. So
they are still in the game. Well, they have a chance to get back in the game.
True.
They're still in the house.
Yes.
So that's a little different. They have to wear these camp comeback uniforms. Where they look like campers. They're not allowed to participate in the ceremony, the veto ceremonies, which I think is like an interesting, like it feels meaningful that mm-hmm. they're not there. Like yeah. it's kind of like,
unless they were just like off in the corner, just like staring at them. And they get something.
They are kind of off in the corner of the house. Right?
Yeah. But like and staring at knowing them. That people would be there. Or like they stood behind the head of household, like ominously, that'd be pretty funny too.
Yeah, yeah. There's just something I appreciate about that, about them just not, about them being there, but at the same time not being there. And, you know, they, interesting enough, we spent some time on the last show on Sunday learning about David and Ovi and what they've been up to. David gets, like we were saying, David got some good advice from Catherine, but he also has a moment with Jackson, where Jackson pulls David aside and is like, hey, what the hell happened in that comp? You were supposed to come back. And what do you think of this move? How smooth is this move, Lance?
If we're grading it, it's an F-.
It is not a very
smooth. It's not smooth. Every conversation between Jocelyn and David is just so, it's like an Ovi Christie level weird conversation. And just, I just don't feel right. And it just doesn't, like, even if David is the most oblivious person in the world, it's still not believable. Like, he's seeing right through it. And no matter what, like, I understand trying to save face, but he's still going to be the guy that he targets. David is going to target Jocelyn.
Yeah. I think it's safe to say that we'll talk about live feed spoilers later, but I don't think it's a live feed spoiler to say that on the live feeds, Jackson and Jack, they don't care for David. They do not like him. And they're shook and they are salty that he is there. They're a little bit, perhaps a little bit too threatened by him, being that he's not even in the game. Has a chance to get back into the game. But, at the same time, like I just get the feeling, watching David, on the live feeds, spending the time, back in the house and seeing him on the episode that, David is maybe, David could use a couple lessons on how to play Big Brother as well. Like, I feel like he's in this weird, like, almost like an outcast position in the house right now. But it seems like he's almost like helping put himself there. Like during one of the things that happened on the live feeds was that he was trying to get together a cornhole game for the 4th of July and was like, all right, we got to split up into two teams of eight, like, so we can do this game. And like immediately, like Chrissy's like, I don't like this. He's trying to get information about who's with who. And like, first of all, that would be a genius way to find out who's with who. But I don't think that way.
He's not savvy enough for that. He's just trying to have fun.
Right. He is trying to have fun, but like, he's just like, it's just like everything is, it seems like everyone's kind of like against him in that. And like, I saw him doing some like apologizing to people and just trying to like get like his non-game back on track, which is just a really weird.
It's just such a tough position to be in. And then when everything you do is under a microscope, like cornhole, like, it's fun, it's a July 4th thing. And then once he says teams, like, it gets on everybody's radar and it becomes a thing.
Literally nothing to do in that house.
But that's just got to be so impossible to do. So it's tough. And you're right. He hasn't handled everything the right way. But, personal feelings get involved with this stuff. And being the first guy out on the first day, like, it's going to weigh on you. And it's going to be something on your resume that people are going to always hold against you.
Yeah, yeah. The whole like game playing as like a distraction or like a as a way to learn about it feels like very Boston Rob from Survivor. I remember he was a few times came up with like a beach day idea to just kind of get everyone away and to do his little trickery behind the scenes. And now that I'm thinking about Survivor, and just it's in the back of my head. It says this is the most Island of Extinction like twist ever, right? Like,
I wrote that in my notes. It's right? You know, Island Extinction Island in the house.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So again, this is a Big Brother podcast, not a Survivor podcast, but the shows are they're both CBS reality shows and they're both very similar. And you know, if you didn't watch last season of Survivor, their twist was that the people who were voted out of the game went to, you know, their own Island of Extinction, you know, where they had a chance to get back in the game. And then it turns out, you know, spoiler alert, one of the person who was voted out, I believe third, Chris Underwood, wound up coming back into the game at final six and somehow winning it all.
At least if somebody comes back in this, they won't come back for the final six.
Who here has the most? Is it David or Ovi? Who's going to pull the Chris Underwood here?
I mean, it would probably be David just because of that. But I would love to see Ovi. I mean, if you think about it, like, it's not the worst thing. These people come back after, you know, 4 weeks of immunity too, you know? So
it's not the worst twist, right?
And like, it's, depending how the game plays out, you might be a valuable number. Or you're what everybody else thinks, like once they come in, they go right back out. They do the revolving door thing.
Yeah. It's never worked for some. I guess there have been a few people who have gone far after getting back in the game. But to
win it, it's such an outlier.
It is, because, you know, when Victor won the battle back in 18, you know, he just had this huge target on the back, and it's like you can work with him for a little bit, but you know that this is just like he's such a comp beast. You know, I think Johnny Mac got back into the game in 17, and then he made it to Final Four, but you know, he wound up getting out of the game, and it's just a really tough position to play from.
The one advantage for David and Ovi and the two people that will be part of this is that you're probably not getting out a big player. So when you do come back, Jack and Jackson and maybe some other guys are still those big targets that you can kind of, you know, add a number, or maybe they want to work with you. Maybe you just come back in, and since you've already been in that house for a while and you've laid the groundwork with relationships, maybe it's not as big of a disadvantage as it could be.
It will probably start a completely new phase of the game. And I think you're right when we were talking about this twist, maybe making it so that people won't play, you know, aggressively. Even more so that the fact that they're going to be stuck in the house with you.
Exactly.
It makes it so much harder to do a blind side. It makes it so much harder to, you know, lie to someone, you know, to put them on the block.
That's why this week's nominations make a lot of sense for that reason.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. Week two, the HOH competition, it's a memory competition with some fireworks, and it comes down to, interestingly enough, Jess and Jack. And this week could go very differently depending on who flips their thing to blue and who flips their
thing
to red.
That's a big what if.
It is a big what if. Could be completely opposite, where Jack's on the block if Jess is HOH.
And yeah, I could see both Jacks on the block if that happened.
It could be. But unfortunately for Jess, it is Jack who wins as HOH. And unfortunately for a lot of live feeders too, he's not necessarily a favorite. But that's okay. Sometimes a villain has to win, right?
We need some villains, somebody to root against.
So Jack wins HOH, and you know, we already know his plans, because he's trying to run week one. So he's got the opportunity to run week two. And so right away, it's going to be Kemi. They're going to come up with some rationale why it's got to be Kemi, but it was going to be Kemi from like day one. Like, he just wants Kemi out.
Yep.
Jess, I guess, kind of gets caught up in this Women's Alliance drama. It wouldn't be a Big Brother season if we didn't have a failed Women's Alliance. And I really want to talk about this, Lance, because I think it feels like this one could have worked. It could have worked. There were five people in this alliance and four of them were into it, right?
I mean, were four really in it? It felt like half of them were already out of it, like, initially. When they first started explaining it, I was like, hey, this makes a ton of sense. Like, I really like this. And it was a great name. It's a much better name than Grateful.
Yeah.
But, you know, they cut away almost instantly and it's just, nope, not really into it.
Yeah.
Or if they were in power, I'd be into it. You know,
right.
it's a tough one because poor Jess has been trying to do this and it feels like nothing can go her way. Mm-hmm. She can't even buy like a break right now.
Yeah. Well, it's suggesting that Jess is just naturally closer to the women in the house
yep.
than the guys in the house. And she doesn't have a lot in common with Jack and Jackson. Mm-hmm. So she just doesn't hang out with them a lot.
Yep.
And that's kind of, I mean, that kind of, you know, without, you know, saying that you're in alliance against them, that kind of puts you on the other side anyway. And that's tricky. And you can tell when she goes up to talk to Jack, like this, it's not the most comfortable situations.
Yeah.
Like she knows she has to do this to try to keep from getting put on the block, but
yeah.
it's probably and anytime a done deal already.
Anytime you hear somebody be like, you know, we don't really talk game a lot. It's always it's a tough one to come back from.
Yeah.
You know that you're on their radar and you're probably going up.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's not great for her. But you know, it is what it is. And it's kind of a front door situation this week. It doesn't look like Jack has this like grand plan other than to let's get Kemi out and Jess is on the block too. And those two targets make a lot of sense for his game.
Yeah. Worst case scenario, one of those two goes home. So.
Right. Right. So we have, shortly after, you know, shortly before this whole drama, we have the Chaos Wactivity competition. And again, for live feeders and for those who are not big fans of Jack, it couldn't have turned out worse. Jack, because it's a snake handling competition. Which is kind of interesting. I'm kind of into these Wactivity competitions.
Their animal budget must be huge this year.
they've got
porcupines, snakes, skunks.
Skunks, yeah.
Cliff had a pet skunk, right?
Oreo. His name was Oreo. Yes. Yes. That's a little.
It's a very Cliff Hog
little
thing.
Cliff nugget. Pet skunk. There was just so many. Yeah. So apparently Jack is just great with dealing with snakes, which can come in really handy in the Big Brother house. A lot of snakes in there. So he wins this, the chaos power, which is, I don't know. What do you think of this power? So his power is that he can force a redraw of the veto comp names. So for example, you know, it did, you know, Jess wins HOH next week, and you know wants to try to backdoor him. He can say, wait, let's do this veto draw again, and cross his fingers, hope his name comes up in the veto draw. What do you think of this power?
I mean, compared to what Ovi won with the nightmare power, it pales in comparison.
Yeah.
It's not that big of a deal. I was worried because I thought there's gonna be three really game changing powers in this, and this one was pretty meh to me.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, you know, if like scenario that you just laid out does happen, it's a huge power because if he does come back and he is able to play in a POV competition and does win the power veto to save his life,
yeah.
that is a huge power.
Yeah, I think Ovi got the steak, and I think Jack kind of got like the expired hamburger meat here. It's not a great power. So, you know, if you're just thinking about it by the numbers, so in any veto draw, like there are six people who play in every veto competition, three names are already decided because it's always the HOH and it's always the two nominees. So it's really three other people that, and out of what, there are 14 people still in the game.
And he can use it till there's six left, right?
Yeah.
So it
lasts for a while, but still it's... You know, it's a tricky...
It's not something you might even have to use, really.
He might not. And that's the thing that really makes it, you know, a tough power to use. Because unlike Ovi's power, this one doesn't seem like it's going to be anonymous. Jack's got to stand up and force this redraw to happen.
And he's already lied to the closest people in the house with him about having the power.
Yeah, he's smartly not telling people about it, which is, you know, I'm actually surprised. I
was surprised too. I thought he would go and spill the beans immediately, like, yes, I won, do his stupid little shooter reaction thing.
Yeah, I was really trying to figure it out on the live feeds as, you know, who won what. And, you know, it was tough figuring that one out because, you know, you'd think he would spill the beans on it, but he didn't.
Arguably, his best move so far in the house.
Arguably, yes, his best move. But you know, it's such a gamble because, you know, he's really just rolling the dice again on a random redraw. You know, if the dice don't roll right the first time, he gets to roll them again, and there's no saying that it's going to come up correctly.
Yeah,
the second time
it could just be more of a disaster for him, because if he does get outed that he had it and he was lying the whole time, and then maybe the draw doesn't even go his way.
Yeah. So you know, I don't know how powerful that's going to be. But it's something that's got in his back pocket. Probably better to have a power than not have a power, all things considered, right? So that's kind of where that week is shaping up as far as that goes. One other kind of big power shift that happened in the house. We had a big showmance power shift, or a big showmance shift. From showmance to nomance. We had our first Big Brother breakup of the season. between Catherine and Jackson, who were sort of together for week one. It was not a great, if you're Catherine, that's not a great edit for, you know, your boyfriend to be, you know, like, oh, like my mom's gonna kill me, like we're just friends, this isn't a showmance, and then a clip of them making out in a bed, right?
Not a good look when you have a boyfriend at home,
right? That's true.
And then when you go back and you rewatch this, and you're going to see the things that Jackson said about her, it's just all bad.
Yeah, and it's not great either. Just from so once Catherine and Jackson kind of break up, I want you to rate this breakup for me, Lance, because Jackson needs time to focus on himself for once.
That was the one thing that I quoted out of that. For the first time in my life, I have to focus on myself.
For the first time.
First time in his life.
So how would you feel if someone broke? Is this your go-to breakup line? For once in my life, I need to focus on myself?
It would be, but no one would believe that.
Yeah,
that's the thing. I don't care where you are, even if you're on national TV. No one's buying that line. Like, the it's not you, it's me is a better line than that.
Right,
like,
right.
Say almost anything else.
Yeah. It's never been me, but for now it's got to be me. I've got to focus on myself now.
Just like, imagine a guy on national television there to pretty much become a celebrity and win money, saying he hasn't done anything for himself.
Right. Yeah. He's such an altruistic guy. So they break up seemingly just so Holly and Jackson can get together. What do you think about this from Holly's perspective? Because what is Holly doing here?
It's hard to really tell what Holly's doing. Holly's not getting a lot of screen time other than the Jackson stuff. Yeah. I'm interested if she's actually really into him, or is this she sees the Jacks are in power and she's just trying to latch onto that and maybe do a four-person alliance with the Jacks, her, and Annalise.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if that's her play, or if it's just a purely physical thing, or maybe she just hates Kat so much that it's like, I'm gonna do this.
I feel like if you're gonna have a showmance in the Big Brother house, you probably want it to be someone in your alliance as opposed to someone who's not in your alliance. You know, all things being equal. Although I guess Hayden Moss kind of turned that on its head back in season 12, and it worked out well for him. But it's just that when you're that, if it's a real, like, honest to goodness showmance where you're gonna defend that person, I don't know why. I feel like this is a bad move for Holly. I mean, you can only do what the heart wants, what it wants, right, Lance? But it doesn't seem like the best of moves for Holly.
You get locked up in the house for a while, and you know, things change. People get attracted to other people, so I can understand that. But you really. It's funny that Jackson says these things like, hey, I'm focusing on the game, trying to win the money, but his actions do other things.
Yeah.
And Holly, you'd kind of want to hear what she's thinking with it before you judge too much on exactly what's going on. But just from the optics, she's taken this guy or taken Jackson away from Catherine for almost no reason. And not completely sure if it's helping her game or actually might be hurting.
Well, I mean, I don't know that she so much took Jackson away from Holly, because Jackson is
Jackson
it's
wanted
clear
out.
That yes,
Jackson wanted out.
He was talking the entire time about like how, you know, annoying Catherine's paranoia is, and just how like there's.
I also think Catherine going on the block week one really opened up Jackson's eyes.
Well, yeah.
And if that didn't happen, that still might be going.
I think that's a
he might not be conspiring against her.
I think that's a. being on the block puts a big wedge, I think, in your relationship. Anyway, good for Catherine for getting out of that. Catherine does not seem too fazed by this.
But her entering, becoming, like joining on the hammock with them while they're like talking was so awkward, but so funny. Kat's just awkwardness really just like permeates through everything, and I love it.
Yeah. No, she's great. She's just fantastic. Oh my goodness. I love her so much. She's not Derek, but she is great TV. And I can't wait to see what else we get from her moving forward. All right. So, in a moment, I think we've covered just about everything from the show. So we're going to talk about some spoilers in just a moment. Also, still staring at that giant bottle of Bobcat pee. We're gonna open that up and see how that goes. Stay tuned right after this. Oh no, Lance. Bad news. We're back.
Uh-oh.
That's scary stuff, right?
It's getting closer.
It is getting closer. The hour at hand is almost here. But before we do that, let's talk about some live feed spoilers for you, real quick. So if you don't want to be spoiled about what happens for the rest of the week, this would be a good point to cut out, or at least fast forward to the very end so you can see how this whole game turns out. But like I said, we'll be back next time for more fun. But for the rest of you, let's go over some live feed spoilers. So we've had our veto competition, and I can't believe I'm about to say this, but the winner of the week 2 veto competition is Sam Smith. Sam, for some reason,
drive truck, wants to get a snake tattoo.
He loves driving truck and he loves winning veto. So he goes and he wins the veto. He also apparently wins the trip to Fiji. So good for him.
That's really kind of a big deal, because if it's between him and somebody else, people would be like, hey, this guy has won 2 vetoes and he's got a trip to Fiji. Yeah. That makes it easier to get rid of people.
Having a prize does kind of make you a bit of a side target in the house.
Yeah,
no one likes when you've got like $5,000 in your pocket or something. It's like, oh, they've already won something. Let's get rid of them.
Yeah, and just going back to what you were asking earlier, is it a mistake? I didn't think it was a mistake to win the first one, but winning back-to-back, unless you really feel like your back's against the wall, it's tough.
Two veto wins early on for no good reason is not the best. We don't know a lot about his rationale right now. We don't know. Like, maybe he did it for the trip to Fiji. Like, I'm going to be honest with you. If you're going to win a trip to Fiji there, you may as well win the trip to Fiji. Not a lot of prizes are handed out in the Big Brother house. Yep. So if you can grab one, good for you. You're already doing better than probably 13 or 12 of the other people you're playing
Absolutely.
Against. Right? So yeah, you know, may as well. But it does kind of put a target on his back. Not that he's, in a terrible place, but you know, you can't say that Sam's in the best position, because he's outside of that majority alliance. They like him, and he's kind of like in that, like, the majority orbit.
Yeah.
He's like kind of adjacent to that alliance. So he's probably not going to
go. A lot of floaters
home.
Around there.
Yeah, he's not going to go home, you know, right away. In fact, like, there could be, like, that alliance could probably split before it goes and targets him. But, you know, still, he's not in the best place. And that, if that moves him up a couple extra, you know, just a week or two sooner, that may be a week that may just be just fatal for his game.
The thing I'm worried about is when the camp comeback's over and you don't have to worry about somebody else coming back, I feel like that's the prime time to take him out.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's looking like, maybe, you know, if I'm playing against him, like, I'm a little worried. He's a wild card.
Yeah.
You know, he said it, because he's not playing the game in like a traditional sense, like what you would expect someone to play Big Brother. You know, you don't expect someone to go out week 1 and win the veto. So there is this big question mark, like, what is it going to do? Like, if I'm HOH next week and I've got this big plan and like everything's going perfectly, and then Sam wins the veto again and blows the whole thing because he wants to make a deal with like Nicole this week. Like, what is that? Where does that leave me?
You know? Yeah. Yeah. If I'm the Jax, he worries me more than almost anybody.
Yeah.
And then if I'm anybody that's not part of the Grateful Alliance, I'm trying to team up with Sam. Let's get something going. Let's get a counterattack on
those
guys. He
does seem
like
a good person that you would want to work with if you're not working
exactly,
with
because he'll be the big target. And then if you got other people maybe doing like the puppet master thing with him like taking all the blood and taking all the fire, it makes it a lot easier to get through the first next couple weeks.
Is there any chance that those the quote unquote outcasts of the house, the misfits, those outside that majority alliance? Who are we talking about? We're talking about Sam, Nicole, Jess, that group. Maybe you could even maybe throw in like Nick and Bella, because they're in that alliance, but that alliance is kind of charming.
Well, we know Bella's going to go with the power.
Yeah. Well, that's what she said. Yeah. But is there any way that they can work together? I don't.
It just feels like almost every year, you're going to have the popular kids that are the athletic, physical specimens that try to team up and everything. And you got the outcasts. And the outcasts, one of the fatal flaws they always have is either they go to war with each other, mm-hmm. or they're floaters, or they just don't team up, or they try to team up and they split. If those people just suck together, then you got something. Like, and when that does happen is when you really have the two sides of the house split down the middle. And so that's something I'd love to see.
Yeah, they really need each other. And I don't know that they're realizing how much they need each other yet.
And they always realize it a little too late. Sometimes they get the luck of the draw and they win it, had a household or some kind of advantage, but they're running out of time already.
Well, I think the camp comeback twist may help a little bit in that regard. Cause I think one of the most interesting things, and let's talk about, I'm not sure if you're familiar with Joker's Updates, all you out there listening, but it's a great site for just, keeping up on what's going on in the live feeds. And they have a feature, where, you can rate the house guests, and it kind of gives you like a general idea of where the fan base is heading. And, if there's a secret power that America needs to vote for, it's a good way of estimating like who may be in the running for that. The bottom three, let's just talk about the bottom three real quick to get them out of the way. But not a lot of people are fans of Annalise, Jackson, and Jack. They're kind of down on there on the bottom. I think it makes sense. Jackson and Jack were kind of the power in the house. They're kind of
the mean boys,
and they are kind of mean. Yeah, they can be. And there's and Annalise is now kind of in that in that Jack world. It makes sense why she's kind of guilty by association, mm-hmm. there a little bit. Well, we're talking about that. As it turns out, we do have a bonus showmance here, a spoiler showmance to share. And it turns out that Annalise and Jack are getting a little showmantic.
A little bit
showmantic. Yeah,
I heard it's a lot, but yes.
Yeah, it is a lot. It is a lot. The heart wants what it wants, Lance, and apparently it wants that.
You get locked up in the house with a bunch of good looking people. Things happen.
They are so good looking. They
are both very good looking.
Jack and Annalise are fantastically good looking.
But a lot of the good looking people at the bottom. People aren't.
That's right. So are the favorites, the fan favorites right now. Number three is Tommy, whom I've liked him from day one.
Tommy seems to be in a really good position where everybody likes him, and he's not really making waves, not on too many people's radar, but he's a guy that I can see go really far, right?
Yeah, he's in a good spot. Jack kind of pulled him into the alliance. Jack likes him. He likes Jack. I think he kind of boosts Jack's ego a little bit. Likes calling him hot, and that never gets old. Nope. Having people call you hot, nope. you keep that around. He seems like he's in a pretty good position. Even if this alliance breaks, it's not going to break up to get rid of him.
Yes.
Probably.
I could see him as somebody that people would gravitate towards.
Yeah,
as another alliance.
Yeah, he seems very likely to be in that majority alliance after the majority alliance breaks up. So I think he's in a really good spot. Shouldn't surprise you that the number two person is Sammy Smith, Podunk Sam Smith from Pennsylvania. Again, he just seems like a really great guy. Like a family guy.
Seems like a fun hang.
Kids and he's loud and he likes driving truck and I wouldn't mind hanging out with Sam.
You have a couple beers with him, but not too many because that's when the antics really start coming out.
Gets even louder.
Yes.
And the number one, America's favorite, or at least the live theater's favorite right now, is Nicole. Nicole is number one. Now, what do you think of Nicole, Lance?
I love Nicole. I think she's one of those people that I'd love to see more of her on the show, but she just seems like somebody who kind of understands what's going on with the game, isn't in a lot of power right now, but she's somebody that I don't think people would really want to get rid of. And if she can just things break the right way for her, she's in a really good spot.
Yeah. So I think she's not in the best spot for right now. I think right now she is kind of in that, she's on that other side of the house. Yep. It doesn't realize they're on the other side of the house right now. She's not the top target for that side of the house, which is a great place for her because she just needs this a dynamic to shift and for the for things to change. And she could have that
one connection with Ovi, which I think is really nice to see.
Yeah, I really like that little segment that we got where she's apparently very, very close with Ovi still. And she was kind of like giving him the lay of the land and letting him know that,
someone had to do it.
You poor sweet child. This thing, you should not be talking with Jack and Jackson. They are not the ones that you should be working with. They are the ones who were stabbing you in the back.
You got played.
He did get played. And I guess Ovi's kind of like coming around and understanding that, but, good for Nicole, first of all, for seeing that. And for being there, again, I don't know. I worry that she knows a lot about what's going on in the game. She's got like a good eye for, who's hanging out with who,
but can she do anything about it?
The thing that worries me is that she's going to be there and she's going to kind of fly under the radar for, however many weeks. And by the time, she's in that position where she can do something about it, can she really do something? It reminds me a little bit about, if you remember, Becky who got hit in the face with a train.
I remember that.
Yeah. She was kind of had her finger on Vanessa in season 17 and she made it to, and she became HOH. But then once she just really couldn't get anything done, like once she actually had the power to do something, she couldn't really do anything with it because she just didn't have the pieces in play to do something with. And I think she's losing all her pieces.
Yeah. The one thing I'm worried about is say she does get power. Yeah. Who's rallying behind her? Who are her numbers and everything. Yeah. So I completely agree with you.
Yeah. But I think she's I do not want to underestimate her. She seems like she is a very game savvy person. And she could certainly, make something happen if she, once that alliance breaks open again, if she can just get right in with the people who are in power, if she can work with Jack against Nick or work with Nick against Jack or however that actually winds up breaking up, that's where I think she needs to be.
If she can get in a solid final two with somebody who can, maybe be a little more charismatic, maybe like a Sam or somebody, and somebody who can do competitions really well, I think that's a really dynamic spot for her if she can pull that off. But it's tough. You got to pick the right person and things obviously have to fall your way.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So let's wrap things up here for kind of the week. So who are, so far week two, we know it's not over yet, but let's do winners and losers on week two. So far, who do you have as your kind of, who do you think is your winner week two here?
I'm going to go with Kat.
Okay.
Because one, she got high in the house off urine.
Good
amazing.
For her.
the bitches aren't conspiring against her.
That is true. That's true. They may have been. She didn't go home. But she's right that they are talking about her behind her back.
I guess there are a couple bitches conspiring about her. And then she's just become this live feed gold. She's just so entertaining that I got to give it to her right now.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't go so far to say that she's live feed gold. I think she's show gold.
Yes.
She's definitely show gold. Yes. I think she's not as fun on the live feeds as that, but for sure she's show gold. I would say, I love her. I don't know that I'm necessarily ready to call her, my winner, for the week. And I don't think you can, I don't think it can be Jack. You can't say it's Jack. You can't say it's Christy. It's tough. I'm feeling like maybe the winner for this week, maybe Tommy, it may be Sam. It's someone who's in that, who's just like, you don't want the power at this point. Like, there's so much power going around. I think Jack's already got a huge target on his back, and he's just making a bigger target. I think he's my loser. Jack is a loser for my week, even though he's winning
ahead of household, yeah. And the activity too. Still a loser.
And he is my loser for the week. I think he's just like, so he may actually wind up going further than we think he's going to go. You know, there are a lot of people out there who might be targeting him, but you know, I just think like he's accumulating a lot of power. I think he is the clear target for that other side of the house. If any of them do win HOH, not that, you know, their numbers are dwindling right now, but I think if you see, you know, Nicole could do something about that. Jess could do something about that. Kemi, if Kemi is still there in week three, not looking the greatest for her, mm-hmm. right now. She could be going home.
She's somebody that if she does come back and be part of the camp comeback, she could be really like start a lot of drama in the house. Like, yeah. She could be one of those people that maybe make some waves, because a lot of people aren't really trying to make too many waves. Like, OV's not doing too much. David obviously is getting on people's radar, but yeah. I could see Kemi being a little angry that she gets evicted.
Kemi's fantastically yeah. angry. Like, she's savvy angry.
Yeah.
Like,
I can see her throwing a lot of shade and it yeah. being a lot of fun. If yeah. she hopefully she doesn't get evicted, but if she does, yeah. I can see
if
that.
She's around next week and she has some power, it's on for sure. Oh, yeah. It's on.
I'd love to see her with some power.
That's the thing. Like, I feel like everyone kind of knows that if Kemi gets power next week, it's on. Which is why Jack is, yep. is so eager yep. to get him out of the house.
So I got two losers then. Okay, the Black Widows Alliance
okay.
that lasted, yeah. you know, a minute and a half. Yeah. We had a lot of high hopes for it in those yeah. 30 seconds, and then it just, Isabella snitched. You know, snitches get stitches. Yep. And then my other loser's got to be Ovi. Obviously, Ovi being evicted.
Okay, yeah.
He wins the Nightmare Power, isn't able to use it, trusts the wrong people, figures some things out, but it just doesn't go well for him. But argument that he did win a little bit by not actually going home. Like, he's still
yeah.
part of this.
Yeah, I feel like, so we were talking a little bit about how, like, it's just so tough for David to go out day one and how hard it is for just someone who's, like, such a fan of the show and having go through the entire casting process and spend all that time in you know, hotel room alone and then just to go into the game and then get kicked out, like, almost immediately after. Like, it does make you feel a little bit better about the situation. Like, okay, so he didn't get to play the game for that long. You know, Ovi didn't get to play the game for that long. Whoever gets voted out this week didn't get a chance to play for that long, but at least they get to stay in the house for a while.
They've got an experience.
They've got an experience. And I feel like that's, like, as someone who would love, you know, I would love to play Big Brother myself. I don't know if I'd actually go through with it, but like, I would want, like, the experience. Like, that's like such, that's like a big part of it, you know, to me, like, just being there and, you know, hanging out in the house and talking with people and seeing it, even if you can't play in the competitions. Like, I,
yeah.
I just think that's great.
Yeah, one day and one week just isn't enough. So yeah. I really appreciate that they're going to get, you know, 3 weeks, a month, or whatever mm-hmm. it is to actually yeah. be in the house.
Yeah, and you can see all that fun stuff on the house on CBS All Access. It's a little busy with all 16 people in the house, and it's a lot, but there's always something going on, as it turns out. So if you want to take a look at that, live feeds are available 24 hours a day for the most part, 7 days a week, except for some competition blackouts where they're holding the gold for the episodes, the veto comps. But if you want to check that out, you can go to cbs.com/bigbrotherbrothers and sign up for get a week free and check it out. It's good stuff. All right. So, Lance, I think we finally reached that point of the show where we are going to have our little mini Wacktivity competition of our own.
Oh, here we go.
So here's how I think it's going to work. I'm going to explain this for the folks at home as I hand you the items here. So, like I said, I went on Amazon and using my Prime membership, I purchased some items. Keep out of reach of children, it says. But I've got a jar of from the good folks at Code Blue, a cover scent of fox urine, as seen in the Wacktivity competition. We've got some coyote urine here, also seen in the Wacktivity competition. A
lot of instructions on this.
And you don't want to misuse these. And then we've got some Bobcat. So I think the way it's going to go here,
the Bobcat is very dark.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's top quality stuff, as you'd expect from Amazon.com. So what I think what we're going to do is we're going to choose one of these, right, Lance? I'm going to close my eyes here. And so whichever one you choose, that's going to be the correct answer, right?
Yes.
And then I will try to pick that out of the three, having never smelled any of these before, dreading what it's going to be like. But we're gonna give it a try. Okay.
All right. Let's do it.
So I'm gonna close my eyes now, and you're gonna choose one of those three, and I'm gonna just let me know when we're ready here. I feel like I'm like at the doctor's office about to get like a shot or something. Like I got that like nervousness. I don't like this at all.
You won't get a shot of this. Don't worry.
Oh God, I hope not.
All right, here we go. The first one.
All right.
Waft it. Can you smell it?
Oh, that's very unpleasant. Oh, God. Oh, God. That's, yeah.
You can smell it from here. Oof.
Okay.
What do you think? You can open your eyes.
Yeah, let me, okay. All right. So, it was a little bit earthy.
I was hoping so.
A little bit earthy. All right, so I'm gonna go, and I'm gonna see, we're gonna take these one at a time here, and I'm gonna see if any of that has any
good luck.
Oof. Oh my God. Oh, I don't know how close you held that bottle to my face, but I think I held that one a little too close.
I was much further away.
So the first one I'm gonna try here is the Bobcat, and Bobcat is very unpleasant. Nothing about this is pleasant. I don't think any of these are gonna be pleasant, actually.
You keep smelling it.
So Catherine liked it.
You got dedication. So, yeah, are you feeling a little out of this world right now?
Not yet.
In the clouds?
Okay. Not yet, but I'm gonna check back in later. So I feel like the Bobcat, it made me want to throw up.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the first one, the one that you gave me, whatever it was, didn't make me want to throw up in the same kind of way. We really should have a bucket here. This is terrible. I'm going to say it's probably not the Bobcat.
Okay.
But I'm going to try the others and then make a final decision here. So wait, I guess the Fox is next.
Once again, you're getting a little too close to it.
Okay. So here's the thing. That smelled so much like the Bobcat. I can't taste, like, no difference between those two.
Maybe it got stuck and it's just permanent smelling.
I am so sorry for whoever has to use the studio after we do. Okay. And the, God, you can kind of smell it. Like a little, yeah.
Yep, you could definitely smell it.
All right. And the last one here is.
Maybe we only do one.
Okay. Yeah. This was the worst idea ever. So there was just the, okay. So the coyote that I just smelled, it really does kind of like get to the back. Like it just like, it invades you deeper. It's
does it clear
so
the sinuses?
More. I wish my sinuses were unclear right now. I'm going to guess it was the coyote. Because based on my experience, that one made me want to throw up the least. And also what I smelled, when you had me smell one, made me want to throw up the least. So fingers crossed, but what is the correct answer?
And the answer is you got it right.
Oh,
it was coyote urine.
Okay. So that's fantastic.
You are the urine expert.
Just like on the show. That was so terrible. And we're never doing this again. This idea is going right in the trash.
How could you say that about Bobcat pee? A tradition of quality urine since 1986, before I was born.
It really does say that. I don't know what I'm going to do with like $30 worth of animal urine, but
I don't want to know.
We'll see if, maybe I can resell them on Amazon slightly used. That was our incredibly ill-fated game for today. I'm so glad that I could experience that.
You
with
won,
you, Lance. And you know what? I'm going to say that I am feeling a little chill. I'm feeling a little chill right now.
I can see it in your eyes. Pupils a little dilated.
It's not bad.
Things are happening.
Yeah. So maybe I'll save a little bit save a little bit of that for later for the weekend. You never know. All right. Well, I think that we better get out of here before we get into any more trouble, Lance. This is about wraps it up for us, I think. We're going to be back here again later in the week. We're going to talk with Tyler. Can't wait to do that. We're going to talk about how the rest of Jack's week two goes, and we're going to talk a little bit about week three and how that's shaping up. But for now, this is Fox Van Allen.
And I'm Lance Cartelli.
Yeah, and we are the Big Brother Brothers, and we'll catch you here next time. Bye-bye, everybody.